You're watching The American Journal with your host, Christy Lee.
Welcome back in. Christy Lee here. I'm so honored to be sitting in this chair. Never know when it's going to be the last time I get to do so. As you heard over the break, we do need your support to hopefully continue. Alex can continue something. We don't know what that's going to look like, but continue to pray for him, number one. But also, in the meantime, you can go to the alexjonesstore.com, alexjonesstore.com. You can shop for the products, the apparel. You can even win a 2024 Dodge Ram. That's insane. Giveaway worth over $100,000 when you're shopping at the alexjonesstore.com. Obviously, you're supporting free speech and the InfoWar, and we're hoping for the best. Our hope is that we can continue with the message of truth and awakening of so many. And my guest, this is a shorter segment, of course, but I want to bring her in right away. Kathy Barnett is just a wonderful human being. She's the author of Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. She has done so much and doesn't give herself enough credit. National Grassroots Director, Senior Advisor to Vivek Ramaswamy, ran against Dr. Oz. So much. She has an incredible podcast that has really influenced me lately. She's a veteran. My gosh, I could go on and on. Kathy, this is a shorter segment, and then we'll bring you back. But I played the clip of you with Alex earlier in the show to kind of preview you coming on. And it was funny because as you previewed that clip that you shared, you said that he was talking to Tucker and saying something about spider goats. And this is something that would have turned you off before. Like, this is why I can't get on board with this guy. He's crazy. But you looked it up right away. Just go ahead and tell your story.
Yeah. You know, I think Alex felt my energy from the side of the stage when he said spider goat. And I'm like, what? This is the reason why no one takes conservatives seriously. I think he felt some of that energy and he looked and said, look it up. And I did. I Googled it right then and there. And oh, my goodness, spider goats are real. And it just went to, you know, just to further cement what my thinking is that, you know, I wasn't a listener of InfoWars for a very long time. I don't follow Alex Jones. And yet I had apparently a very cemented idea of who this man is without knowing really anything about him or whether or not what he has been talking about was true or not. And it just really began to rub me raw that I am told as a society not to like this man and really have no real reason why. I don't know why I'm not supposed to like him. And then you start listening, you start actually looking up the things that he's saying, and there's a tremendous amount of truth. And it goes to the culture in which we're living in right now, that if they don't want you to hear what someone is saying, then they begin to malign them, use ad hominems, begin to drag them or try to deplatform them and destroy them. And it's those very people that we need to be listening to most times.
And I mean, Alex has a gift for the way that he presents his information. But to that end, I gotta mention that, you know, he is known for his saying that they're turning the frogs gay. And yes, that might sound ridiculous, and that might turn off somebody like you that, you know, like, what is he talking about? But I do need to point out that he was vindicated. A guest on Joe Rogan said atrazine converts testosterone to estrogen. And so basically this is what was happening. And so he chose to phrase it as turning the frogs gay. But that, I mean, it was turning the frogs from male to female, essentially. This is a very real process when they pollute the water with atrazine. And so that was another thing that he was vindicated on. So people just got to actually, you know, kind of decode the sensationalism of what he's saying. But the ultimate thing is the truth. All right. Like I said, this segment was shorter. Thank you for sharing humbly your original first impression and how you were converted. We're talking a bit about that today, but we have so much to share. You have such an incredible story, such an incredible woman, and looking forward to talking to you about your book and everything that you're doing now. So we're going to have more with Kathy Barnett after this quick break. In the meantime, go to the alexjonesstore.com, alexjonesstore.com, so that I have opportunities to do more like this. Thanks.
Just wanted to give you guys a little bit of props, the Alex Jones store. I got my Panther 1984 1776 wristband on. I buy the products because I like the products and I like the merch. And here's the thing. I buy the multiple wristbands and the stickers to give them out. And I've been looking for InfoWars stickers for a while because the main store site didn't have them. So finding out that there's stickers, you know, for 1776, etc., on this site means I can finally have stickers mysteriously appear in my neighborhood again. I'm not going to say that the main thoroughfare had, along the bus route, stickers from every bus at the start of the route to the end of the route, but let's just say somebody may have passed some of those stickers out and had them put up until the bus line got smart to it, you know?
That's awesome, Sean.
There's not too many platforms like this that have this reach and have this depth of knowledge, and I give you guys props. We're fighting through it all, and I'm looking at some red and black InfoWars t-shirts with the old style print. It's probably my next purchase, so keep it going, guys.
The American Journal with your host, Christy Lee. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Journal. We have a very special guest with us, Kathy Barnett. She is the former senior advisor to the Vivek Ramaswamy presidential campaign. She's ran for Senate. She's an author, a veteran, a former adjunct professor of corporate finance, homeschooling mama bear, 2022 Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, like I said, in Pennsylvania. So many directions we're going to be able to take this interview. So God lead the way with what you want us to talk about, first of all. But, you know, Kathy, you are not supposed to have been able to achieved so much according to the Democrat narrative. Like, you didn't have the privilege that, say, someone like I have because of the color of my skin, because we judge people by the color of their skin now. So, but you know, how were you able to do all of that with, you know, with the odds stacked against you in today's society?
Yeah, I think it was Walter Williams who said, or Thomas Sowell, I can't remember, you know, both of them are just amazing, wise sages of our culture today. But it was one of them who said, I am so glad I got the bulk of my education done before white liberals thought it was popular to help Black people. And I think about that all the time, is that, you know, I grew up very impoverished. I grew up on a pig farm in Southern Alabama, a little one-stop sign town. I grew up in a home with no insulation, no running water, outhouse in the back, well on the side. I mean, we were so poor, we couldn't afford the other O. We were just po. But yet, even in that environment, I had a wonderful childhood, as I remember it, very impoverished. But as a kid, you don't know that. I was loved. I was provided for. I saw my family wake up early, go to bed late, trying to provide not just for their own family, but for those within our community. And so that's how I grew up. No one ever looked at me, called me a victim. I don't recall ever being called a victim. I don't ever recall being told, Kathy, you're Black, you're a woman, you're poor. Or hang it up. Instead, I grew up feeling like I had a major role to play in the outcome of my life. And as a result, I went on to, as you mentioned, spent 10 years in the military, accepted into officer candidate school, the first in my family to graduate from college, and on and on and on. But the process, it's not rocket science, what you need to do in order to pull yourself out of dire poverty. You just have to, one, not have the chains wrapped around young people's mind as it is today, that somehow they are a victim. Two, that somehow they can't achieve. They have to wait for someone else to provide them the ladder, that they have to wait for someone else's benevolence to pull them out of dire poverty, versus recognizing that with all of our flaws here in this country, there is no one running a close second. And this is the greatest nation if you want to aspire and be something different and more.
And that's why I jokingly called you the counter narrative queen, because to that end, this is also airing on my show, Counter Narrative. on Patriot.tv, which is led by the General Michael Flynn. So we're doing a double whammy here. We're on InfoWars and we're on Patriot.tv, by the way. Yeah. But yes, you are counter to the narrative of really suppression from the left. And if people want to learn more about your story, I encourage them to get your book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. You know, one of the other amazing things about your story, Kathy, is your emotional sharing of your start. You know, the abortion topic is heavy, heavy, heavy right now. There's a whole sect of Christians who say, oh, Trump's policies are not conservative enough. And I mean, they're right, but I want to get your take on that. But just to share the background on that, it's my understanding that you are actually the product of a rape. And so, you know, those are one of those exceptions always. The pushback, you know, oh, well, what if somebody's raped, you know? So by that standard, you shouldn't even exist, right?
Very true. You know, I have never glorified how I was conceived. My mother was very young when she was raped, and I'm very grateful. I don't glorify how I was conceived, but I am very grateful that the adults in the room saw value in my life. And as I said earlier, I grew up feeling loved. I didn't grow up feeling any other kind of way. And I'm very grateful for that because from me, I believe I am a good citizen in this country. But even more importantly, my husband and I have been able to create an amazing family unit from which we are raising two young kids, 18 and 15 years old. And they are amazing. And I believe our nation is going to be all the better for them. And yes, this is a conversation. I'm grateful that we're having this conversation in our nation. Unfortunately, our side, the Republican side, the more conservative side, don't have an effective message. We have the best message, but we're not providing a counterpoint to what Democrats are saying. The last time I looked, for every 1,000 Black babies who are born, 477 are murdered in their mother's womb. That's a 32% kill rate, making lynching has nothing on Planned Parenthood. So as much as Democrats talk about racism and all of those other adjectives, truly, between the welfare state and Planned Parenthood, they have done to the Black community what slavery, what Jim Crow law, what frankly racism could have never done. And that is absolutely destroy the Black community. And so I'm grateful that that I am here. I have no apologies for whatsoever. And I earnestly believe that if sharing my story could save one life, then why would I not do it? And that was the impetus that got me started in sharing my own story.
And I don't know how you feel, Kathy, about Trump and his approach to abortion, which has gotten wishy-washy, you could say, and not to people's liking. I guess my perception is that there's some hope there, that he can be influenced. He's shown us that he's willing to bring in some people that look at things and have different priorities than he does, like with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others. And so that gives me hope that he would be willing to be influenced or listen on the other side. There's also the argument that, you know, Abraham Lincoln, I'm sure you know, has gotten some criticism for not coming down enough to abolish slavery fast enough, but he was kind of playing a game. He had to appeal to the South to move in that direction. And then eventually we got, you know, more of where we needed to be. And you could say that Trump is maybe doing something like that. So what is your thought? Because again, we just established that, you know, you're an exception that he would advocate, like, okay, well, in a case like yours, then abortion should be fine. So where are you standing on that end?
Yeah. Allow me to just say for a moment, that's part of the problem with the Republican / conservative party and movement is that we do analysis paralysis. We analyze and pick apart every single thing that someone does, that we never actually move and affect real change in the culture. That's not my opinion. Look, from 2016 on, I just start with 2016, we have essentially lost everything that really matters that we're supposed to be conserving. We're actually conserving nothing within the conservative movement. A large part of that is because we have this tendency to just analyze until we're paralyzed and essentially don't do anything but nitpick one another together. Listen, I have never looked at Donald Trump as Jesus Christ. He is not. He is like all of us. He is a tool in the hand of God to affect some sort of change. I do not expect him to be perfect, but I believe he has done what we asked him to do in his first term. And now I'm not looking to him to wave a wand and to make all of our problems go away. This is our responsibility as a conservative movement. I am simply praying and fasting that God gives us a reprieve, that he does not give us Kamala Harris, who I believe in large part we deserve a Kamala Harris, but I am praying that God does not give us that, but instead would allow Donald Trump to take office. And if he should take office, if God should give us that kind of grace, I believe it's our job as people, as foot soldiers on the ground, to get busy and affecting the kind of change that we want in our country and not sit around like we did in 2016 to 2020, waiting for Donald Trump to solve all of our problems. He's not Jesus. We all have a role to play, and I am hopeful that we figure that out and get busy playing that role.
Yeah. And I love that you have a biblical perspective and acknowledge Christ and all of your perspectives, as we should. And I want to encourage people to check out the Kathy Barnett podcast. You can listen wherever podcasts are heard. Just quick plug on that, because it's been a blessing to me. You know, Kathy, we have talked about just the wild ride all of this has put people like you and I, and you've been at this a lot longer than me, so I feel like I shouldn't even put myself at your level in any degree.
Stop it.
But you know, it's been a wild ride, and there's been moments where we've felt valued, and there's been moments where we're like, is anything I'm even doing valuable? And I think that really touched me when you talked about that, and we're humble enough to admit that, like, I don't know what I'm doing now, because I think a lot of people will find that way. The evil is so big and so strong that a lot of us are like, what can I do? Am I bringing value to this spiritual warfare? You know? And so, just what would you say to other people and talk about that struggle? 'Cause it was a blessing to me when you shared.
Yeah. Listen, we all have struggles. I think one of the things I realized running my own 2022 senatorial campaign here in Pennsylvania, where we travel the state of Pennsylvania 1,500 miles every single week. We were almost doing door-to-door knocking throughout, on every door throughout the state of Pennsylvania. And then it was solidified as the National Grassroots Director for the Vivek Ramaswamy campaign. And now I'm traveling across the nation talking to people. Oppression is real. Apathy is real. People feel as though they're under a tremendous amount of weight. And I know that the Kamala Harris campaign is talking about joy is all around us and running a campaign of joy. I'm not seeing that joy manifest itself on the ground in people's lives. We are surrounded with wars, more rumors of wars, Bangladesh, Iran, Ukraine, and Venezuela right here in our own southern border that is a form of warfare as well as fentanyl. We're looking at the inflation and the cost of just buying basic groceries for our family. There is a tremendous amount, and people feel a tremendous amount of despair. And sometimes it just feels like, well, what can I do? What does it matter? What does my vote? What does my single vote matter? What does my single opinion matter? And it does matter. And that is one of the things that I've tried to live out in my own life, of trying to inspire people, show people what it looks like to have courage. This is not an industry that I was brought into, but I simply looked around and said, what more can I do? And then as you begin to allow that to be your mission statement, wake up each day, focus on today, not about the anxieties of tomorrow or the sorrows of the past, but what is in my sphere of influence to affect change on today, and then get busy about doing that today, this morning, I woke up and it was all about Iran and how essentially the United States has almost single-handedly funded Iran's ability to be a mass distributor of chaos around the world. Iran would never have had the resources that they have had to give to Hezbollah, Hamas, the Sudanese, and so many others, if it wasn't for what the Biden administration did in lifting those sanctions and waivers and having a very permissive U.S. foreign policy stance, not just to Iran, but to all of the evil of axes that we're contending with today. You can do that too. You can find out what's going on in the world around you and get busy doing that.
And what is that like, you know, as someone that served their country? You're a veteran, Kathy, and you have seen how not just the Biden administration, but the continuation of this warmongering approach that always seems to reward war. I mean, but Biden, especially disastrous in funding of Iran, as you say, leaving weapons of war behind worth, you know, $1,000 million, whatever. It's like anytime I talk about money now, it's like Monopoly. Like whether I say thousand million, trillion, billions, I can't even keep track anymore. But, you know, what has it been like as a veteran to watch that? And, you know, there, many are saying that they really firmly believe we are right on the verge of World War III. Would you agree?
I think we're in the midst of World War III. I talk and text routinely with General Flynn. And I remember one of our last conversations, I called him and I was like, I think we're in World War III right now. And no one's just talking about it. Think about it. I mean, like, what's a world war? We have Russia, Ukraine. We have what started off between Hamas and Israel has now quickly turned into Hezbollah and Israel, as well as Iran and Israel. Now you have Erdogan and Turkey saying, I think I'm going to get involved. You have Bangladesh. The Islamification of Bangladesh right now after they kicked out their leader, Sheikh Hassini. You have China. We thought it was just Taiwan they were trying to take over. But no, now we see it's Japan as well as the Philippines. Now we have the Rocket Man poking his head back up on the scene. Look at what's going on in Southern Africa right now. We are in the midst of World War III. We're just not talking about it because the Democrat Party and mainstream media just want us to think that the greatest existential threat we have is women not being able to murder their own children. That is not the most pressing issue that we have right now. I didn't even talk about South America with what's going on in Venezuela right now. So we have a lot of problems, very real problems. And as someone who spent 10 years in the military, I love my country. I was very proud to serve my country. But right now, we have a 25% recruitment deficit. You're looking at all of these wars all around us. You have to think, where are they going to find the able-bodied young men to go and fight these wars? My son just turned 18 and just signed up for selective service, I believe it's called. And, you know, and so I'm thinking not only as someone who, you know, have a vested interest in seeing America thrive, but I'm thinking from a perspective of a mom who has an 18-year-old son. And what will that mean? We have a 25% deficit. We have wars all around us. And I believe that, you know, I mean, truly people pray fast. And seek God. I mean, as someone who, you know, I'm very heavily involved in the world of politics, was right there with Vivek and introducing him on the world stage. And so I've done that part. I continue to do that part. And yet I am here to tell you our solution is not in these individuals. Our solution is truly in Christ. And I believe that we need to really be very mindful and prayerful, because I believe as we approach between now and November, when you listen to Lindsey Graham, don't like him that much, but you know what he's saying, as
join
well as
club.
Tim, you know, and many others, they are telling us that the number of terrorists in our country is at an unprecedented level, and that they are concerned that something could happen, that another 9/11 like event. Those are not my words; those are our representatives' words. That another 9/11 like event could happen that is very imminent. You know, so these things are very real. And I believe as we approach between now and November and that election, and it, as world leaders feel like Donald Trump, the wind is underneath his wings. I mean, I'm just very unnerved by how weak we are as American people individually, but also our leadership right now with this very permissive U.S. foreign policy. We are in very precarious times. No one's talking about it, but it is real.
Yeah, it is very real. And again, bringing it back to the fact that you ran for as a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania, I want to, you know, Pennsylvania is really on the map because obviously the assassination attempt that happened there in Pennsylvania. And it just seems to be going back and forth about which direction it's going to take, Kamala or Donald Trump. And there have been a lot of strides I would attribute to, frankly, people like Scott Pressler, who have been trying to really ramp up efforts to register. But I am concerned about efforts against cheating, if that they haven't been enough, because as I recall, Pennsylvania was one that didn't even follow its own rules as far as the election process went, particularly with its handling of the mail-in ballots. So what's your sense as someone that ran as a representative for Pennsylvania? What's your sense of what's happening in Pennsylvania?
I know there's so many places I can start off with that with your question. One, what is my sense? Absolutely nothing has been done to correct what we endured during 2020. In fact, in my own county, Montgomery County, which is the third densely populated county, the second wealthiest county in the state of Pennsylvania, we just added 13 additional drop boxes that would be open 24 hours, 7 days a week with no chain of custody. Jeez. No, it won't be locked. Like I said, open 24 hours, 7 days a week, no cameras, no nothing. Right. And so I believe Donald Trump around across the nation is going to win this election. But whether or not it's recorded as a win is something that I am very thoughtful and unnerved about. And yes, registering people, it's a good activity to do when you're not really, you know, if you're just wanting to be busy about doing something. But, you know, I heard someone say, when I see people trying to register folks, I run in the opposite direction. You're in a general election. That should not be the bulk of our effort. We have very real problems, yeah, like I said before. And when we're just putting spotlights on, oh, we're registering people in a general election where you can vote, it doesn't matter what your affiliation is, Democrat or Republican, but whether or not that vote is actually going to count, whether or not people will have the ability to put more ballots into the box than they should, whether or not people are going to be able to vote, as you alluded to in 2020, the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court extended voting by 3 additional days and did not adhere to the rules, yeah, of the Pennsylvania legislators. Are we going to see that again? So we have very real problems. Unfortunately, again, the Republican Party is focused on, you know, many of the wrong things. Registering people to vote should not be the primary focus. The primary focus should always be, how do we secure the votes, yeah, that
and,
we're
and
going
really,
to get?
Really, because I have to wrap things up with you now, Kathy, sorry. But yeah, really, ultimately pray. You and I are both in agreement that just pray. Obviously, fight for these things, secure what you can, do what you can. But ultimately, it's going to take God, and God's going to get all the glory because the GOP has been such a failure. But Kathy Barnett, follow her on X, please download her podcast, the Kathy Barnett Podcast. Get her book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. Support Kathy. She's a wonderful Christian influencer in this crazy game. And to that end, we have another person coming on next. Don't miss it. Author AJ Rice.
It's Friday, August 16th. 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. Yes, our program's come to an end. The grid. through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with the circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
Alex Jones, Dr. Kirk Elliott, good friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies. Because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto others as you would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get an 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think, I know, you would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to kepm.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. kepm.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does a sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Christy Lee. Watch live right now at band.video.
Yes, welcome back to The American Journal, Christy Lee in today. Happy to be here, and we have a great show for you. I promise I'm going to get back to your phone calls. I know that I peeled for them, and I will get to you. I see them. We love you, and I'm coming to you soon, okay? But first, we got to talk to my next guest, AJ Rice, president and CEO of Publius PR, author of the White Privilege album, and so much more. I've had the pleasure of working with AJ as far as lining up guests. He has represented people like Lori Ingram, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Donald Trump Jr., Monica Crawley. The list goes on and on. So many people. And I'm very excited to talk to AJ today. AJ, thank you for coming on with me. We're also broadcasting on Patriot.tv. This is the counter narrative as well. So we're doing a double whammy, InfoWars and Patriot.tv, led by the great General Michael Flynn. And so again, thank you, AJ, for joining me today.
No, great to be here. You guys are patriots. Let's get after it.
Yes. I got your books, and this might be shocking to you, but I did not have a chance to read them since I just got them. But I was browsing through them. And one thing that is my first impression in looking through these books and getting a taste of them is, you know, your gift of humor. Because in times like these, we need to be able to find some humor in it. And so thank you for being so witty as to integrate humor in the crazy times that we're living in. You know, how important is that to you?
No, 100%. I mean, I had some good mentors, Laura Ingraham, Andrew Breitbart. I grew up listening to Limbaugh, you know, who used to say that, you know, our job and his job. And I think conservatism, populism, people that love their country, you know, if attacking you, if they're attacking the foundations of the country, if they're attacking the Bill of Rights, or they're attacking the scientific method, or whatever it is that the cultural Marxists are always after, our job is to, you know, use absurdity to illustrate truth, use irreverent humor to illustrate truth. Now, you know, I'm a millennial, so, you know, I'm you know, I can get a little more hardcore than sort of your G-rated comedy. I'm a bit of a Philly wise ass. So, and I think that comes across in both books. And I mean, it's why I, you know, do my best to, you know, deride the hell out of the cultural Marxists. I mean, it's why the job of most comedians, anyone that wants to sort of traffic in humor, is to be sort of the first recorded view of history. So, and quite frankly, the left, you know, they and whether it's rock stars or comedians or film, even journalism, you know, they used to be sort of the sort of referees on the company men, right? The referees on the deep state, the referees on the powers that be, but no longer. I mean, a lot of these actors and comedians, a lot of them have wrapped their arms around the Pentagon. They've wrapped their arms around the pharmaceutical companies. This is why you see, you know, alternative media like this show grow. It's why you see someone like Gutfeld sort of crushing the Jimmys and the Stevens on late night, because they're all sort of monochromatic in the same jokes from the same song sheet, right? So, and it's lazy comedy. It's lazy entertainment, because that's really what this is. This is an entertainment medium. Yes, you want to be informative, absolutely. But at the same time, and look, I run Publius PR. A lot of my clients end up on shows like this, and I tell them, look, it's not just an interview; it's also a performance, right? We need to be better, especially in the alternative media. We can't phone it in. We all have to be Jackie Robinson. We all have to be Muhammad Ali. So we have to constantly be the best, because we're outnumbered. Right. We're outnumbered in, you know, censorship. We get deplatformed. We get demonetized. We get shadow banned. So, you know, you need to bring the heat. If you're going to take it to the left, you have to bring the heat. And look, I try to do that. Some of it's gallows humor. So I figured, Christy, you know, if you and I are going to end up in the gulag, we might as well have some fun on our way there.
Yeah, you have to. You have to just stay sane, quite frankly. And you are arguably the GOAT of PR, with working with so many big names, getting them on so many shows, and coaching them, as you said. And so to that end, you know, you end up, this is my perception, you end up in the background because your focus is pushing all these other people forward. So I want to give you an opportunity, and us an opportunity, to hear more about you, how did you end up here? How did you end up working in this area, writing these books? I mean, you're a young guy. What's your backstory?
Well, first of all, one thing, look, I grew up playing sports, Philadelphia, you know, Catholic League sports. And I will tell you, I've worked with some tough cookies, right? I was the longest serving executive producer of the Laura Ingraham show. I was with Monica Crowley for years. I worked for Beck. I worked for John Solomon at the Washington Times. No one wants a coach who didn't play the game or doesn't play the game. So in order to sort of separate myself from a lot of your sort of boring, uptight, DC-based PR people, PR firms, people with their goofy communications degree. I don't have a communications degree. I'm not even supposed to be here today, quite frankly. I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit where I've sort of built my next thing off of my last thing.
Okay.
So, you know, when it comes to sort of my background, I worked on the Hill for a short period of time. And then Ingram hired me to be basically an associate producer. And within 9 months, I became her executive producer. And we got the show to 350 stations. This was her radio show. So this was before the Fox TV show. And, you know, she's still a mentor. Monica's still a mentor. You know, my mom's a tough cookie. She was a medical doctor. So I work with Judge Jeanine, Naomi Wolf, a lot of strong women, right? And they all know how to, you know, stick their high heel up my ass. So, you know, you know, you need it sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So look, I like to consider the PR firm and Publius PR the center of what I call the MAGA cinematic universe. Very few PR firms can say that they've worked with RFK Jr. and Donald Trump Jr. at the same time, but we do. We work with Vivek. You know, we work with all the anti-globalists, excuse me, all the anti-wokeism forces. And a lot of PR firms have run. They've run away. They've run from this era. Because when the OG came down the golden escalator, things changed. Now, I am in Swamp Central. I'm in my subterranean, you know, homesick alien, you know, headquarters here. But I will tell you, a lot of PR firms threw in with Never Trumpers. They threw in with the establishment. They're company men, you know, just like the media. They don't want anyone to rock the boat. So that's why people go after InfoWars. It's why people go after Steve Bannon. It's why people go after, you know, Gutfeld and Ingram and Judge Jeanine, why people go after Newsmax and so on. It's because Tucker, and I'll just tell you, there's more sort of venues for different types of alternative voices than ever before. But it is no different. I know InfoWars covers this all the time. Even in the PR field, they're afraid. Book publishing, they're afraid. You know, I work with Alex Jones's publisher. You know, there's places that Alex couldn't go. There's places that won't print the White Privilege album. You know, they look at this and they're like, what is that? Oh, no, we better call Yoko Ono. I mean, the reality is that we have to create our own spaces. And that's fine. That's fine. Most alternative media people were already entrepreneurs, right? But, you know, let me give you an example. One of the big breaks I had was getting Judge Jeanine's book. And one of the reasons I was able to get it is because, quite frankly, there were conflicts. Because some of the PR firms that were going to help her had thrown in with Jim Comey.
Mm-hmm.
They had thrown in with the McCabes and the Comeys and the deep state characters. So now I'm sure they made tons of money. That's fine. But there's more to this than that. So I have set Publius PR up as an alternative place where, you know, for the most, look, I'm not a purity test guy. I don't think, throughout history, purity tests have worked real well. But who do you want to roll with? Do you want to roll with Elon and Tulsi and Naomi Wolf and RFK Jr.? Three out of those four people we represent in some capacity. Or do you want to roll with Dick Cheney and Dick Cheney in drag? Dick Cheney's daughter. And the heroes that were captured and the heroes that weren't captured, the McCain family and the Linguini Spine Romney family. And I mean, the fact that Kamala Harris go on TV and say, I stand here proudly with the Cheneys and the endorsement from the Cheneys. I mean, it's insane, but that's where we are. So there's a large group of people, different people in the battleship against totalitarianism in the culture, in sports, in your food, in the media. And it's different. I mean, you got Ron Paul people and Alex Jones people and some Bernie Sanders people, RFK and Trump, and DeSantis, we're all fighting the same battle. And that's good because I think we're in the majority.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to that end, I mean, since we're on the topic of your work and public relations, I'm going to test you on your public relations skills and your commitment to being a good little boy as a PR representative. And I want to ask you this because in working with bigger and bigger names, I have been really surprised about how people are, how different people are or can be when they're not on camera, and when you're working with them on a personal basis. And my takeaway has been some of the people that I expected to be the most gracious were the least gracious, and some of the people I expected to be like, oh gosh, this is a huge name, like they're not, they're never going to be like necessarily easy to work with or nice to me, have blown me away in how like gracious and patient and just what amazing people that they are. So I don't expect you to name names, of course, but I was wondering if you had any takeaways in general, like I have laid out, of just what it is like working with some bigger names.
Sure. I mean, look, you know, if you're going to be in this business, you got to have a healthy ego, which is why a lot of people come to Publius PR, is that because we are the clearinghouse for some of the biggest egos in the media, for sure. And you can't have someone at the top, me, without one myself, right? So you know, you need to be an ass kicker. I think, and look, some of there's different types of killers out there. Some do it with a smile and are very gracious. You know, some, you know, are exactly what you get. I mean, they are who they are because they've eaten their way there. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that the people that are the best, and I've tried to do this with Publius PR, are the people that don't try to cut corners and parachute to the top of the mountain and then ski down. The people that build the mountain, climb it, and then ski down to reward themselves, those people are rock solid. You don't see a lot of phoniness, people flying apart, like hitting them with a leaf blower and they fall because they're such phonies, they fly apart for sure. I think, you know, when you do the marathon, not the sprint, right? And you dig ditches, and it doesn't matter whether you're in front of the camera or mic or behind it, those people end up being the most solid, really. I can definitely say that for sure.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about your book, The White Privilege Album. How did you come up with this idea? For folks that are curious about this, it's broken down into chapters that coincide with months. Let me see if I can pull the camera up here. It's months. So you have January privilege, February privilege, March privilege, April privilege, and you broke it down that way as far as chapter goes. Tell me about the concept behind this book and why you chose to break it down that way.
Well, look, it's the 12 months of privilege. And instead of a table of contents, we've got track listings. Look, an album can be a collection of pictures, a collection of songs, or a collection of essays. So I organized the book, you know, chapter one is January, chapter 12 is December, through an entire calendar month of cultural Marxists trying to basically attack three things: Western civilization, the middle class, and the nuclear family. Our holidays, our traditions, and, you know, I poke fun along the way. I make fun of, you know, we have some fun with the pilgrims and Columbus Day, which is coming up, you know, and I know that Elizabeth Warren will be donning her headdress. She'll be doing, you know, she'll be out there dressed like the Lando Lakes Indian, which has been removed. So you got to have some fun. You got to poke some fun at these people. I try to set my, I'm from the sort of, short attention span theater generation, right? So I'm a geriatric millennial, and you know, you can jump around. You can go right to October and read about Columbus Day and Halloween, or you can start at the beginning. I laid it out like this because it was a fun way to sort of show each month how, you know, cultural Marxists try to divide us along racial lines, along gender lines, and use identity politics and cancel culture and political correctness to try to control our language, try to control our behavior, and try to control our, you know, in some cases, our diet and what we put in our bodies. So you have to expose this, because if everything is racist, then nothing is. So I decided to basically go through all the things that the left thinks are racist and take shots, obviously, at the humanities departments of America, which a lot of this garbage comes out of. And then it gets picked up by big tech and, you know, Hollywood and the mainstream media and the Democrat Party. So, you know, I mean, some of the, I mean, look, the subtitle of the book is bringing racial harmony to very fine people on both sides. So a big shout out to all the very fine people that I know are in this audience. It's filled with the very fine people. But just understand this. The very fine people hoax was the foundational lie of the Trump is a racist narrative. You know, I'm not that far from Charlottesville. It's interesting. We all knew that whether you were going to get rid of a statue of Robert E. Lee and his horse, right, that they weren't going to stop there, because as soon as they were done with Lee, they came for Grant and they came for General Washington and General Jackson and General MacArthur and General Patton and General Pershing, you know, and General Christie Lee. I mean, they come after everything. Yeah. Yeah. They were never going to stop. They were never going to stop with Civil War people. I mean, there goes Churchill. I mean, they were never going to stop there. They were going to keep going, because this intifada of cultural Marxism is no different than the Buddhists or the Taliban shooting those RPGs at Buddhist statues. They want to reset our culture. They want Western civilization to go away. And that, when I say Western civilization, I'm talking about Greco-Roman, Judeo-Christian civilization. They don't like it. And that's why the economic Marxists took off their jerseys. Marxist jersey so that they could do the long march. There you go. There's the greatest African-American who ever lived right there on the screen. So we talk about the patron saint of fentanyl. He's in the book.
Yep.
Sure. And we try to pull apart some of the race myths. And, you know, and as much as I'm a wise ass and I will trigger the left, there are large sections of the book that do try to bring racial harmony. A lot of it through sports, which used to be and should be something that brings us all together, where we have this sort of cultural meeting house, and everyone sort of puts down their you know, unless of course the Eagles are playing the Cowboys, and then they're going to have a brawl. But you know, Lakers and Celtics, Red Sox and Yankees. But you know, it should be something we should all enjoy together without, you know, the termites of cultural Marxism getting inside of it. But they do. But I do say this. I try to showcase some stories. We talk about Jackie Robinson. We talk about Jim Brown, who was a supporter of President Trump there at the end, the famous civil rights icon, right? We do a side by side of Colin Kaepernick and Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees, and how both of these gentlemen were of mixed race, both adopted, and they handle their fame differently. One became sort of the face of kneeling and anti-Americanism, whereas the other one, and basically threw his white adopted parents, you know, under the bus and backed over them. Whereas the other one, you know, Aaron Judge really has done a lot with his foundation. He doesn't take the bait, even though ESPN wants to suck him into these, you know, black fist in the air nonsense. And look, they tried to do that with Derek Jeter. They're trying to do it with the quarterback of the Chiefs. You know, who's of mixed race and he's married to a white woman, Super Bowl champion, you know, and some of these athletes won't take the bait. So we do try to show stories, like with Michael Jordan saying that Republicans wear sneakers too. Look, if you take any auditorium in America and you tell all the kids to raise their hand, stand up, that are wearing Jordan sneakers, it'll look like the United Nations. It'll be the most diverse group you can ever find. And they all think they can fly because they're wearing Mike's shoes. You tell that same auditorium, stand up if you're wearing LeBron's shoes. Everyone sits down, and maybe some kooky blue-haired trans professor in the back that teaches feminist studies or lesbian basket weaving, they'll be the only one wearing LeBron's shoes. Because, and I've said this a million times, if you're going to be the GOAT, LeBron James, and Tiger Woods knows this, and Tom Brady knows this, and Jordan knows this, you have to be the GOAT for everyone. You can't just be the GOAT for the CCP or the pharmaceutical companies or MSNBC or Oprah or Black Lives Matter. You have to be the GOAT for everyone, and LeBron does not understand that, nor does he care.
Well, he's now wrapped up in the P. Diddy stuff, but that's a whole other subject. Sure. But I only have a few more minutes with you, so I want to ask you this. So you have The Woking Dead, which is volume one. White privilege is listed as volume two. And obviously this white privilege idea is all wrapped up in this woke agenda. And so I want to ask you this. You know, we tend to write off our younger generations, Generation Z now, but, you know, I don't think we give them enough credit. I think the aggressive push of this woke agenda, which encompasses everything that you've been talking about, has become so absurd that it's kind of ticked off like a rebelliousness in even our younger generations, right, making them be like, okay, this is just asinine at this point. Do you feel that way?
Yes. I mean, that's the true insurrection. And the millennials, which is my generation, and then Gen Z, which comes after us, we're, you know, going to try to lead us out of this sort of crazy left-wing woke kaleidoscope of nonsense, where you've got Me Too movement, you got the trans mafia, you got Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you know, you send everyone home with COVID, you know, no one gets to interact with each other. I mean, Gen Z in some instances has a hard time being authentically human because of what you're seeing on the screen right there. and they're a little more obsessed with identity than the millennials were. Millennials were more obsessed with purpose, which can be noble, right? Where we're going to switch jobs a bunch of times, and we're not going to sort of accept the premise. We're not here for legacy benefits. We may go from working at some corporate job to, you know, backpacking in Machu Picchu and taking people on tours. We're not going to sort of accept the premise that, you know, gets put out there. Some of it's because the older ones, the 80s babies, we remember a time before the internet. You know, we remember a time when pagers were a form of communications, not the ones that explode on Hezbollah, yeah, but the original Motorola ones, right? So it is, that's why it's good to try to reach them with books like mine, because I'm trying to use humor and the culture to show the absurdity of some of the stuff that corporations are feeding them. I mean, Budweiser thought it was a good idea to put a tranny in the bathtub with two Bud Light Pounders. And they found out real quick through another cultural icon, Kid Rock. And I call, look, there's been some of these moments, I call them woke Waterloos. And I'll tell you, Kid Rock with the AR-15 and the cases of Bud Light, lighting them up, right? That was it. I mean, Anheuser-Busch jumped on a plane immediately. Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes, exposing all the Weinstein, Epstein, P. Diddy, yes, weirdos, right, in the audience. These are cultural moments. Elon Musk becoming red-pilled and flipping. RFK Jr., Tulsi, right? Naomi Wolf. These are moments that are woke Waterloo moments. And I think we're going to continue to have victories like that, right? When Tucker put Alex Jones on his show, you know, which I know Fox News was blocking when he was still at Fox. These are those types of moments where, you know, true creativity escapes Pandora's box and reaches a new audience.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to, right, that's what I'm trying to do with the books. And I know that's what you guys do here at InfoWars.
Yes, yes. AJ, so good. We jerk you for straight up till the end. I'm going to pitch your books a final time when I return from the break. But thank you for joining us. These are amazing books, and you'll hear more about them after we take this quick break.
The deep state hates me almost more than anybody in the world except President Trump. That's because I've got their number. We've got a giant audience of activists like you that understand what's happening as well and aren't going to roll over and let them take over our planet and enslave us and depopulate us. We're going to stop this death cult together. But the enemies of freedom are trying to shut us down November 13th. Regardless, our great sponsors are going to keep the broadcast going no matter what. But we need funds to do it. So please go to our amazing sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, and get some of these amazing designs. More than 15 years ago, I designed this baby. We've brought it back. I love it. It's a collectible. It's limited edition. It's at thealexjonesstore.com. And now they've added long-sleeved, lightweight, and heavyweight hoodies for cool weather and super cold weather with all these incredible designs. They're now available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it gets even crazier. These shirts are being made right now, so I don't have one, but tomorrow we'll have one. It's in the mail to us right now. Look at this. You talk about fun. I was going to be a Democrat for Halloween, but my head wouldn't fit up my ass. Gotta love that. Here's another one. Make Halloween great again with the evil Trump. Make the frogs straight again. All these great designs and more are available at thealexjonesstore.com. It keeps us on the air at this critical time in the face of the globalists, and they're amazing shirts. You'll meet so many great people when you're out wearing these. It's an adventure to wear these shirts, and it keeps us on air. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for supporting free speech. You are the reason we're still here. God bless you. Now, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I want to thank all those that have gone and gotten the shirts. Thank you so much for what you're doing. You are amazing.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
Mm-hmm.